Indeed, the man is right. It's Squawk 1200. I'm Afterburner Al.
I'm Paul Prydecker.
Joining us right now from Flight Chops is Steve Thorne, and Flight Chops creates immersive, experiential flight videos.
How you doing?
Hi.
We're doing good.
Cool.
What does that mean?
What is experiential?
Tell us about that. I try my best to put you in the seat and kind of learn along the way while I do. So I get, you know, various type ratings and checkouts and various types. Like, I've been lucky to, the channel has kind of expanded into such that I get invited to do a lot of cool things with different people in different corners of aviation. So, you know, I'm a fairly low time private pilot, but I'm lucky to call myself a T6 pilot just because I've gone through that process and actually been checked out. And that's currently what I fly mostly, which is pretty weird to be able to say.
It's very fortunate to be able to say that.
Yeah. So I fly with a museum in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, called the Canadian Aviation Museum. They just rebranded, and that's actually the main sort of partner sponsor on the airplane we just built. So we built it there with those bunch of those guys and the volunteers at that museum facility. So we're sharing the airplane with the team there. And it's just been pretty awesome to share the experience of flying lots of stuff. And I took you through my instrument rating. I took you through my table initial training. I took you through my multi-rating. It's all out there, and it's all, you know, warts and all, just, you know, not necessarily cool successes, but also the challenges and failures.
I see in the about page of your website, you also, looks like you might have gone on a jet trainer. So those are some of the types that you've tried out.
Honestly, I've been super lucky. It's pretty crazy. I can't even necessarily remember everything off the top of my head. There's been so many, you know, more than 50 types that I've jumped in and out of and gotten stick time and everything from DC-3 to, you know, extra 300, Stearman, Pitts. Yeah, it's been pretty awesome.
And what about their most recent build? What was that? We understand that's an RV-14?
Right. So the past couple of years, I dug the process of building an aircraft RV-14. Just finished it, literally with hours to spare to get it here.
Wow.
So it landed on hour 36. And I know you guys are required to do 40 hours for the fly-off. In Canada, it's 25. The thing is, it has to be snag-free. They call it trouble-free 25 hours. I understand in your 40 hours, you guys can have snags. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we have to reset the clock every time we get a snag. That's the way we looked at it. So when we had snags on our first flight, you know, we logged that time, but we had to reset the clock for the 25 hours. And then we did get through 25 following hours with no snags and did a couple shakeout flights before we got it here to get the final airworthiness to leave our 25-mile radius where we had to do those 25 hours, which was interesting in an airplane that fast. Mm. We basically did 2,000 miles of scribbles in a tiny little patch of land between Windsor and Detroit, and then we got it here.
Steve, there's obviously a lot of aircraft builders that are on the grounds here and listening. Was it a easy build? Was it? Did you have a few challenges? How did it go?
Well, as a first-time builder, I don't know how to define, you know, what would have been a hard build per se, but I did have some experienced mentors helping along the way. We had a team of intermittently about 5 people. It changed, you know, through COVID a little bit due to various protocols at the facility that we worked at. But, you know, the RV-14 is Van's newest kit, and it truly is. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
It's the one I would want, for sure.
Yeah. It's almost like Lego. I mean, it's so match drilled, and you almost don't need to deburr. I mean, we did deburr everything, but the way the pieces came, you know, it really was so. I think the only real, you know, difficult fabrication, you know, drilling your own holes and hope you don't screw it up, was the canopy and the cowl. So getting the top and bottom cowl clamshell to kind of work out right was challenging. That probably took a lot more manpower than I predicted. Like, I, you know, not knowing what I know, I just assumed you just slap it together, right? But the fiberglass wasn't the case. Like, they knew that they need to give you, you know, more to trim and line it up. So that was probably the most, like, if you want to call it fabricating or doing your own, kind of figuring it out and making sure you get it right. And of course, the canopy, you don't get to drill it more than once, right? So you gotta get that right.
I'm trying to keep all the RV models apart. That's not the LSA. That's the 12, right? So
correct.
What is the 14? What was appealing about that?
It's the hottest, sexiest, best one. No, I mean, I don't know. Like for me, my mission profile, you know, I really need 4 airplanes. So, you know, I want to land on the water. I want to go to backcountry. I want to go far. I want to go fast. I want to go upside down. I want to carry lots of stuff. The RV-14 checks off like 2.5 of the 4 boxes. That's kind of my joke. Like, it's a great IFR platform. It's awesome for 2 people. It's a tail dragger, which is appealing to me. It's aerobatic.
Just no floats.
Correct. It doesn't do floats, and I don't have a back seat, so I can do all the. So with two, so when I loaded up my gear for this trip, I took a friend as a safety pilot with me, and his personal gear, my personal gear, and all my camera gear and production gear, because I'm obviously a filmmaker. That's what I do. I looked at all the stuff. I weighed all the stuff, and it's like it's going to fit in terms of weight. But when I saw it all piled up beside the airplane, this is the first time I've loaded the airplane. I was like, are we going to have stuff on our laps? But it actually fits so well that we didn't even get above the seat backs. So I could have put more stuff in there that was bulky or light. Mm-hmm. No problem. So two people. So the RV-14, they call it the Bubba 7 or the small 10. The reality is it's more like a small 10 because it is the wing of the 10. Like its stall characteristics are very benign. Like the 7 is a little bit more violent. Like when you suddenly stall and it drops, it's very, it's more like an extra 300 kind of stall in the 7. Whereas the 14 stalls like a 10 where it just kind of buffets and lets you know it really gets, it really doesn't want to stop flying, and it just kind of tells you very clearly through the controls. So it's pretty cool.
I'm sure you've been asked this before, but stand by again. How long did it take?
So calendar years too, but you know, we lost a lot of time. I think we figured 5 or 6 months due to COVID with the museum shutting down and locking us out of it kind of thing. Well, we figured out protocols because a lot of the guys are retired. So my team was kind of frustrated because they were fairly confident we could have done it in 18 months. So we did do it in 2 calendar months, having lost like 5 or 6 due to COVID.
You mentioned that you were a filmmaker.
He is a filmmaker.
Hey, sorry. Sergeant, to end your career here and now. So your day job is it in aviation, or do you do something completely different?
I'm thrilled to say I was a filmmaker in the sense that I got out of that loss of control of what I'm doing in terms of the process in the traditional film or TV. There's so many cooks in the kitchen and gatekeepers. You know, being able to self-publish really democratized content creation. I have direct access to my audience, direct feedback. I mean, my core group of I work with some pretty amazing sponsors that are. Obviously, you know, I'm proud to work with, but my key, you know, majority shareholder is still the community. And the Patreon campaign for Flight Chops is still the largest single support pillar in terms of revenue, making it sustainable. So I don't answer to anybody but them. And that's pretty cool. And my corporate sponsors understand that. Like, we're making really cool content, and it is what it is. It's you know, I feature stuff that I like and use tastefully when able within the stories. But at the end of the day, I'm making content that I want to see, that, you know, the community clearly wants to see, and I take their feedback to tweak it. So I am, you know, it's a pretty unique situation when people ask me, what do I do? It's like I hesitate to use the word YouTuber. My daughter is proud to say that, but it's like, yeah, I'm still using all my filmmaking skills, but I am a self-publisher, and it's pretty cool.
I'm guessing there's a next project in mind?
Well, obviously the next project is to fly the damn thing.
Yeah.
But ironically, no, I'm actually going to get home, land, put it away, and then get my head into G1000 multi-IFR land, which I haven't been in very recently. And I'm going to be flying to Austria on the 21st to fly a DA-62 back with Diamond Aircraft the wrong way across the ocean.
That sounds like a project to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to. Oh, yeah. And the other thing is, like, as we're planning that out, they're like, so it's going to be awesome. You know, you make such great films. Just you can't bring anyone to help because of COVID. So you're going to be present as an IFR multi-pilot getting across the ocean in an airplane you're not familiar with, and you're going to make an awesome film about it, right? It's like, uh-huh. Yeah, so it's pressure, but that's what I do, and I'm proud to do it. It's just this, yeah, so getting my head out of air venture mode and into that mode is what I'm doing next.
When you first started doing these videos, you had an idea in mind what other people might be interested in seeing through the videos. How has that evolved as you've made more and more and you've gotten feedback from your viewers?
So to be clear, I selfishly made what I wanted to see. So I just was frustrated with the TV stuff that I was working on. A lot of the work became reality TV-based stuff where the fundamental core story didn't matter. It was just about the human drama and kind of manufacturing drama and you know, mainstream appeal, which I did not care about. So I just made flying content that I wanted to see, and it seemed to resonate. So as a community got involved, people would send me ideas like, hey, like just like what I'm doing with Diamond. They reached out and said, hey, man, do you want to be part of an across the Atlantic trip? And I was like, yes. And we've been talking about that since before COVID, but here it comes. So yeah, it's just working with the community and flying, telling stories and learning from, it's really a community driven project. It's definitely not about me, even though I'm like the character. I just try to put you in my seat, which brings it back to the full circle immersive thing.
So how many other people like this are doing that? I want to ask you, since you're in Windsor, do you know Steve Tupper over at Detroit Airport?
Yeah, I've talked to him. We try to figure out, do something with airshow related stuff. Mm-hmm. We just haven't been able to coordinate. I'm so far booked out, and it's a good problem to have, but at any given time, I'm managing who I'm disappointing.
Are you able to see some things here at the AirVenture, or are you staying busy that way?
Well, I went and looked at the warbirds while I was camped out waiting for my Vans Aircraft winter flight to come back that I was filming, so I had a minute. But the truth is, not really.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping after this I can go do a couple of those and look around things, because I need to buy a pitot cover for the airplane. But I haven't had time, and I'm going to do a four-flight talk after this.
Well, we'll make some time for you. We want to thank you for giving us some of your time, and we hope that you can enjoy some of AirVenture. Steve Thorne, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Steve Thorne is the creator of Flight Chops, which is a immersive experiential website of flying videos of various airplanes he's learned how to fly and had some great experiences. Also, he just finished a build of an RV-14. Congratulations, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, congratulations on applying all of this technology just to make things easier for people. It's great.
Cool.
Enjoy your days.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with a pilot from the Canadian Air Force. You're listening to EAA Radio.